Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 10th, 2017. Now, I'm holding in front of me two books, Marianne, your book, Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, which if you tuned in for any period of time, or at least the last month or two, we've been reading portions, actually, from the beginning, and today we'll be covering, what is it, four and five. Four and five, Night Flight, and Why Did You Bring Me Here? So that'll be covered on today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Tuesday edition. But tomorrow, Melanie Jackson's book, More Than Enough, Miraculous Provisions Revealed Through See You at Home for Our Friends Without an Address. And so we're going to have her in the studio. I'm going to have you hang around, too, because I'm going to have one author meet another author. You've met Melanie before, but we'll talk about her book and why she's back in town and some of the neat things happening at CU at Home, and primarily to encourage our listeners to also step out in faith and be challenged by her account of how God provided and what she gave up and how she had to step out on this faith journey and how God blessed her through it, and how we would hope that more of our listeners would also say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you too.
She's out in Colorado, right?
Yeah, out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Okay. And I know she always goes to that audio feed, that special 3 or 4 days. It's kind of like a Woodstock of Christian artists and others.
Oh, Cornerstone? Or?
Yeah, it used to be called, well, there was Cornerstone.
I'm behind the times.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
Cornerstone ended about 5 or 6 years ago. And audio feed was kind of the way to keep the Cornerstone community together.
Oh, so you're saying audio feed is the name of it?
Yeah, yes, is the new name old Cornerstone.
Okay.
So audio feed is held the 4th of July weekend here at the Champaign County Fairgrounds.
Oh.
And they camp out, and it's usually 4 or 5 days, and Melanie, I think it's been going on for 4 years here.
Okay.
And she always loves to be a part of that. And so I didn't make it out this year. But they have everything from contemporary Christian to folk to the real, I don't know, where they dress in black.
Why?
I'm not quite sure. It's just that it's kind of the fringe artists.
You have got me puzzled right now, but it's okay.
I don't know. You might enjoy it. There's something for everyone.
I'm sorry.
There's something for everyone.
I think I would enjoy dressing all in black.
No, well, I mean, I guess it covers a wide
Let's
range.
Let's bring this into something positive.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's something good.
Yeah, so those that like to dress in black like those musicians that dress in black and share. Anyways, we're going to have Melanie in the studio tomorrow, Lord willing,
to share
about her book, More Than Enough. And she will be here in person selling her book this Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. So if you're out and about on Saturday, come by the Great News Radio Center between 2 and 4 p.m. and she can tell you about her life experiences, her book, More Than Enough. You can purchase multiple copies.
Great.
And meet with her. And
right here at the station.
Right here at the Great News Radio Center, right across from the chalkboard. As we look out, it says good things with a Z. Yeah, anyways, you can use some of our chalk and write a little note on the wall there and then come in and meet
That'd be
Melanie.
Fun if people wrote, hi, Melanie.
Yeah, that's true. 2 to 4 p.m. this Saturday. Okay, so Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. We'll begin reading chapter 4, The Night Flight.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Night Flight. Pan American Airlines was a pioneer in transatlantic flights. Flight attendants were sophisticated, multilingual, and had impeccable manners. The planes themselves were beautifully maintained. Some say that the Pan Am cuisine was inspired by the famous French restaurant, Maxime's de Paris. Perfect prime rib, lobster, and lovely desserts were all served with great class.
A little difference than what we experienced today.
Yes.
Spirit Airlines, if you want that bag of peanuts, you got to pay
extra. It's going to cost
you. Yeah, that's right.
Throw them over here.
Who's up next?
That's great. Airline travel for the general public was still a novelty. It was far removed from the current era. When thousands of planes cross the sky each day and people jump on board to visit relatives or for work or to vacation a few states away. In those days, one still dressed for the occasion. Mm-hmm. All the passengers were wearing their best suits and beautiful dresses. So were we. Me, still in my blue tweed coat, my mother in her red coat with the soft fur collar and soft leather gloves, and my father in his fine black overcoat and city-brimmed hat. We were not rich, but we had worn our best.
Hmm.
There is no way now to portray what it meant to board a huge, newly created Boeing 707 back then in preparation for a transatlantic flight. The days are gone. The era is over. We boarded the Pan Am flight in the evening on a clear New York City night. I can still remember the bright lights everywhere and the meticulous attention to detail from the airport ground personnel around the plane. I can remember the sheer awe.
Hmm.
People coming to the United States from France or England in those days almost all still took an ocean liner. Few boarded the giant Boeings. Many of the missionaries we would soon be meeting had taken their voyage to Africa by freighter ship and had ridden in trucks or large four-wheel drive vehicles inland from the coast. But here we were, climbing the steps to the magnificent monstrosity, barely able to see the stars for the blinding airport and runway lights everywhere. I felt, at the time, that we were taking our lives in our hands.
Now, I'm going to pause for a minute here because somebody might be tuning in for the first time and saying, now, what's going on? You're about 9 years old at this point. You're following your parents to Africa.
That's a good way to put it.
They're being called to be missionaries and to serve. And so we're reading Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. So this is an accounting of your past and stories that you experienced. So this is the first time leaving the United States, heading for this foreign land.
Yeah.
And,
we left Tennessee and went to New York, and now we're in New York heading out.
Okay.
The plane left land behind within minutes and crossed the New York Harbor. Slowly, the darkness overtook us. Once, I saw another plane far in the distance in the dark sky. But other than that, for hours on end, we were in sheer darkness. Looking below, I asked my father what the tiny pinpoints of occasional light were on the vast dark surface. Ocean liners, he said, or freight vessels. The lights were so small, I could not fathom how high up we were. The charming stewardesses provided clean, freshly laundered blankets and fresh-smelling pillows to lie on. There were plenty of open seats on the plane. There really were a lot of we were one of the few people. And allowed to lay across an entire row. I was allowed to. The darkness around me was profound. In the darkness long ago, Joseph woke Mary and the baby to flee for their lives. The wise men, warned in the night of danger, hurried back another way. Daniel waited in the lion's den through one long and dangerous night. David ran through the night from the murderous Saul. And it was that same David, perhaps quoting the ancient prophet Moses, who had also had his share of night flights, who wrote, "You will not fear the terror of night." Psalm 91:5. Night flights. Perhaps there has been a time for each of us when we awakened in the depths of the night, worried, wondering. Or a night when we've had to get up with a sick child and rush to the emergency room to combat high temperatures. Or a phone call came from an aging parent or neighbor, and in the darkness we hurried out to our car to reach them. There is something about the night that adds seriousness and urgency, sometimes even clarity. We have realizations. It was on that flight, so high above the dark ocean, that I finally understood, deep within myself, that East Tennessee and the people and places I so loved were going to be very far away for a very long time. I was flying into the unknown, full speed ahead. The sun would rise on London as we set down on the tarmac, and the world, my world, had changed irrevocably. Father, be with us through the night watches. Help us on the night flights, when we go out in the night to places unknown, or to a hospital or a friend's house, or if we wake in terror and trembling at the thought of the unpaid bills and the fear of a lost home, or if we awake, unable to sleep, in sheer anticipation of a new and unknown life change, a wedding, a birth, a trip. Keep us safe through the nights of our lives, and give us courage, steadfastness, and even joy in the night seasons to face the rising sun.
Memories of an African sun bringing the light to a hurting world. I'm adding that part here.
A memoir from the heart of the last century is how it's stated in the public.
Yeah, this chapter,
sphere.
Night Flight. I was thinking, oftentimes we experience night fear.
Yeah.
I was thinking the fear, the unknown, the uncertainty, the darkness.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, there's nothing like waking up in the night. You know, it's like that joke we had in the Prime Life Times. It says, "My bed is magical. You immediately remember everything I'm afraid of, everything I forgot to do, and everything."
Yeah, that's right. Comes to mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Night Flight, Chapter 4. Turning now to Chapter 5.
All right.
Why did you bring me here?
Why did you bring me here? We stopped for weeks in Belgium to help a young church there, and then again in southern Italy to give some missionaries the chance to go home. So it took some time before we eventually arrived in Rhodesia. I did my schoolwork by correspondence in the various homes we stayed in, or by the light of a table lamp at night in hotel rooms. My mother mailed my schoolwork papers in from wherever we were in the world during those months.
Now, mailed them in, so it was correspondence courses, and then they'd mail them back?
Yeah,
or
your grade,
them.
Correct them, yeah. Some kids in the bush country, some missionary kids, were on correspondence for years.
Wow.
Yeah. Our plane landed in the capital city of Salisbury, now called Harare, one late afternoon just as the sun was beginning to set. The missionaries who met us at the airport took us right away to the hotel where we would stay the night. The hotel was certainly a nice enough one, but the main thing I recall, as I fell asleep on a cot on the floor, was the voices of the missionaries talking with my parents about the plague of spiders.
Oh, that'll quicken your ears. And we're just talking about the fear of the night, the fear of spiders. Most all of us don't like spiders.
We were talking about the plague of spiders currently going on at the mission station. I fell asleep that night, my first night in Africa, with that conversation sliding along with me into my dreams. Early the next morning, we set out for the long trip south into bush country. We left the city, drove by smaller towns, and then left all towns behind us as we went further and further south. We drove hundreds of miles, eventually leaving behind, one after the other, the trappings of civilization as I understood it.
Just if anyone needs clarification, in bush country, we're talking the outback,
way back, seriously. Yes. Electricity disappeared in the distance behind us. Paved roads were replaced with dirt ones, and finally with ones that were only dirt tracks that had been cut through the underbrush. We were headed toward the Native Reserve Land, later to be named the Tribal Trust Lands, where hundreds of thousands of Africans were being forced to live on the lands that were left to them by the colonists, who had taken the best for themselves. The Tribal Trust Lands were to be our home also.
Hmm.
The question that most went through my mind as I watched the scenery around me change and the trappings of civilization fall was, what is happening to my life? It was only later that I realized that civilization had not fallen behind me. Only the familiar had fallen. And that is a very different thing and not as serious.
Hmm.
Civilization is a way of behaving, or it should be. It's a way of thinking, a way of treating people, and it wasn't gone. The people consigned to the Tribal Trust Lands would treat me well indeed. I just didn't know it yet. East Tennessee is a long way from the interior of Africa, especially as it existed half a century ago. East Tennessee, I understood. I was born there. I understood the Appalachians, the rivers, the small towns, and the countryside. the way my large extended family spoke and the way they thought. My mother's family had lived in those hills for generations. I understood the undertones. It made sense to me. But Africa didn't. Not at first. I felt like Abraham the patriarch when he said, "I am a foreigner and stranger among you." Genesis 23:4. I cried endlessly on our first night at the Bush Mission Station. I lay sobbing into the pillow on the small wooden bed that had been put into a corner of one of the verandas. When my mother came to try to comfort me, I had only one question of her as I lifted my hurting and angry eyes up from my tear-soaked pillow. "Why did you bring me here?" But unexpectedly, something changed, and it was something inside of me. Africa, especially the Africa back then, had a wildness that made its way into my heart, a wildness that called out to me on deep, dark, yet starlit nights. It called from the ground itself and from the sound of drums as dusk fell.
But this took some years, right? Or took a while?
It took about a year. Not that long, really. About seven. It was amazing.
I mean, from why did you bring me here? And here, maybe a 9-year-old just questioning. It's all new. It's all unfamiliar.
Yeah.
But you said the people just loved on you from the beginning.
The people. And it was a place you can't go now. I mean, it was an amazing thing to see, untouched by so much that it has been touched by now. I gazed at herds of buffalo that stretched all the way to the horizon. I felt the power of elephants stampeding after us, the ground shaking as we raced ahead. I sat by village women far out in the bush, pounding maize on stone slabs, singing and talking as they worked. I met wonderful people from those villages. I stood atop enormous, high-balancing rocks and looked out over a wild, windswept country where there were no buildings for miles and miles on end, as far as the eye could see. An understanding went deep into my heart. Did I forget Cherokee Lake or the town square with the white steeple church building where my father had preached? Did I forget Sunday dinner with heaping mounds of mashed potatoes and pot roast, the best southern food you'd ever want to taste? No, I didn't forget. Like my mother, I loved it so much, from my very heart. But Africa also spoke and redefined my life. Are you somewhere in life that you wish you weren't? Are you crying out to God in agony, "Why did you bring me here?" Is it a divorce or death or a move to a city you don't understand and don't like? Is it a fractured relationship with a friend, the loss of a house, the loss of a job? It is not the circumstances that end up defining us. It's our response to the circumstances that do. The challenge for each of us on this sometimes rocky road of life is to stay close to God and to be as wise and strong as we can in our responses to those circumstances. Although it may start out with why, the circumstance that seems so difficult now may be the very one that later gives you a depth, wisdom, and understanding you would not otherwise have had. As the prophet Isaiah once wrote, "Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." Isaiah 43:19. May this be so for you. Father, give me the ability of Abraham to venture into the new with you. Whatever form the new takes, whether a place or a way of thinking, give me courage to face what is ahead of me, courage to not be fearful of the unknown. Let me put my hand into your hand and let me feel your safety, which is better than any safety the world can offer. Let the words of Jesus sink deep into my soul. "Lo, I am with you always."
Excellent. I really like this chapter. I don't think we've read this one before on the air.
I don't know.
in the last few years, but we are recounting chapter by chapter from the beginning. This is chapter 5, Why Did You Bring Me Here?
Yeah.
From Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. Each and every Tuesday, Lord willing, we'll continue walking through this book together, reading it through together.
Well, chapter 6 called More to Come, so there is
more to come at the same time next Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
If you want to purchase multiple copies, we have them right available here at the Great News Radio Center. Generally, we're here from 10 to 5. It varies some as we're out and about doing the Lord's work. And
sometimes just visiting with the neighbors at the next store or something.
That's right. You might see the little sign that says back in an hour or something.
Yeah, sometimes I forget to switch that.
Yeah, but many times about 10 to 5. But you can always call first. Karen can track me down
if I'm in the studio
here recording or out and about. 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. But if they did a Google search or go to Amazon, Memories of an African Son, S-U-N, by Marianne Simpkins, S-I-M-K-I-N-S. And you can support her and support this great book. I think you'll be blessed. I have yet to find somebody that's purchased a copy that hasn't felt it was a great investment or worthwhile. It's very well written, as you just heard. I would hope that maybe there are some points of conviction or hope or recognizing anew that don't let your circumstances dictate who you are or who you become. Mm-hmm. Allow God to be that catalyst to find good or hope, or, you know, if it's different than what you're used to, that's okay. Different is okay.
It's just different.
Yeah, it's just different, and you're going to learn through it. And God many times uses those challenges refine us, to point us in a new direction, or to value what we have. Oftentimes we can become complacent or kind of spoiled.
Ungrateful. It's happened to everybody.
Why did you bring me here? And Night Flight, two of the chapters in Memories of an African Son. And I hope you're blessed on these Tuesdays as we read this together and find points of connection where we can all become greater followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love your prayer here at the end where you're just basically saying, you know, let the words of Jesus sink deep in my heart. Lo, I am with you always. So regardless of the territory or the place or where you're working, the Lord can be with you as you invite him into that day.
It's a powerful statement he made.
Amen. A great statement for us all. All right, everyone. You're equipped for this Tuesday to go into all the world and preach that good news message of Jesus.
Ooh, I like that.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless you.